Aaron Hager, Associate Professor of Leaf Science at the University of Illinois.
And can you tell me a little bit about these free screenings for herbicide resistance and water hemp? What are they all about, and what should farmers know about the screenings?
The screening service that we're offering for Illinois farmers is basically to try to help them identify populations of water hemp, either at the individual plant level or at the field level, that have evolved resistance either to glyphosate or the foliar applied TPO inhibiting herbicides. And the reason we do this is simply because we see this problem expanding across Illinois. And we'd really like to be able to document where this evolution is occurring, so farmers in these areas would know that this is not something that perhaps is only occurring maybe in one part of the state and not another part. It's really going to be happening all over the place. And by doing this, we've been very fortunate to have funding, very good funding from the Illinois Soybean Association to offer this service free of charge to farmers. And it really helps us also understand better how this evolution is happening and some of the factors and mechanisms that basically are responsible for these plants not being controlled by our common herbicides anymore.
And what are some of the results that you've seen from these screenings, and how are those results going to benefit the farmers that participate?
Well, actually, this will be about the third season now that we've been able to do this and offer this. And if we look back at all of the results that we've collected so far, we've really seen a very dramatic increase in the frequency of these different types of resistance. And one thing that is really helpful to understand and to take back to the farmers is that what we think is the biggest challenge right now with water hemp and herbicide resistance is not really just resistance to glyphosate. That's, you know, we don't like to call it old news, but that's something that's been occurring for quite a while. Unfortunately, what we see is the most significant challenge when we identify populations or individual plants that have that are now resistant to not just glyphosate, but are actually resistant to two different chemical families, perhaps even three different families. And very, very rapidly, when you find water hemp plants that are resistant to three different herbicide families, there may not be an effective foliar applied option that a farmer could select, especially in the soybean growing season, to control those plants once they emerge.
So what do you suggest to farmers who might have that type of water hemp that is so resistant to all types of herbicides? What do you recommend that they do to control that weed?
Well, unfortunately, if it's something that has emerged already in soybean, and if the farmers are growing something like a conventional soybean or a glyphosate-resistant variety, there are no herbicide options. So in essence, really, we're down to either the possibility of using mechanical weed control, for example, cultivation, or alternatively, we may just simply have no other option rather than to walk fields and literally cut out the water hemp plants by hand.
And what makes water hemp such a resistant plant? Why is it one plant that has rapidly become resistant?
Water hemp has several biological characteristics, and these are characteristics that have really helped it evolve resistance to many of our herbicides that we use. First and foremost, any water hemp plant that you find in the field is either a male plant or a female plant. And all females do is make seed, but in order to produce that seed, they have to receive the pollen from the male. And there's no rule in nature that says all the pollen from a individual female plant has to come from the same male donor. So she's could be receiving pollen from multiple male donors. In essence, what this does, it really creates a great amount of genetic diversity. And it's really the high amount of genetic diversity that we see in water hemp that is able to select individuals that are resistant to either one or, unfortunately now, more than one of the herbicides that farmers can use.
And are there any types of practices or field conditions that favor water hemp?
Not really. Once the species begins to get a foothold in an area or in a particular field, if only a few female plants are allowed to reach maturity and produce seed, it can really infest a field in a very, very short period of time. The other biological characteristic of water hemp that really favors its rapid evolution in terms of either a problematic species in a field or is one that we're selecting for resistant biotypes is the fact that females can produce an abundant amount of seed. Research has shown that under non-competitive conditions, an individual female water hemp plant is capable of producing over 1 million seeds per plant. Now, these seeds are very, very small, and they move from one area to the field to another via equipment, soil movement, people moving through fields and tracking seeds. So they spread very, very easily and very, very rapidly, and that's why some of these populations can literally explode in a field after only maybe a couple, 2 or 3 years, where just a few survivors every now and then reach maturity, and maybe nobody really thinks that they're that much of a concern, so we don't go out and pull them, we let them go, and then all of a sudden it doesn't take very long for these populations really to begin to explode across fields.
And what kind of consequences do these weeds have on yields in both corn and soybean fields?
Well, certainly water hemp is a known competitive species. Research has shown yield losses in soybean from full season interference of water hemp that can exceed 40%. And so, unfortunately, this is where we sometimes see fields going in a season when farmers don't realize that the water hemp that's already emerged is resistant to the herbicide options that they were going to use in that field. So, in essence, what farmers sometimes experience would be full season interference from these plants, and probably that soybean or corn, either one, is the yield potential can be dramatically reduced by these pigweed species.
Farmers would definitely benefit from participating in the screenings and finding out exactly what's going on in their fields. How do they participate, and what do they need to do to get in with the screenings?
Well, it's simply voluntary, and farmers, we published an article in the Pest Management Bulletin earlier this week, that outlined the sampling procedures that they need to do to collect samples from the field. And there's a form that was attached to the article, and they can download that form and they can fill it out. It's an informational form, submission form for the samples. Gives us name and contact information so we can get the results back to them once these screens are completed. So it's a very, very simple procedure. We simply ask that farmers collect tissue from 5 different water hemp plants in a field and then send that tissue to us, and then we'll run the molecular biology assays and screen for resistance to glyphosate and the PPO inhibitors. That way they will know if they do or if they do not have resistance in these populations.
Now, if a test result comes back with a positive, I guess you might say it is not resistant, is there maybe another reason that it could be resistant and you just don't know by the test that you've run?
Well, it depends on the test. For the assay that we use for PPO resistance, our confidence level in it is very, very high. Of all the samples that have been screened that are known to be resistant to PPO inhibitors, all the samples have actually come back using the plants were resistant by the exact same mechanism. So we really don't see any variation in that mechanism. For the glyphosate assay, if we have a result that is positive, again, we're very confident that the plant has evolved resistance to glyphosate. If the test result comes back negative, we can't just assume that that plant actually is sensitive to glyphosate, because it may be resistant, but it may be resistant by using a mechanism that we don't screen for. So these assays are very, very specific. If that particular mechanism is present in a plant, the assay will pick it up and find it. If it's not there, it'll come back as a negative result, even though that plant might actually be resistant to glyphosate.
Okay, and if a farmer sends off their sample and has it tested, how long can they expect before they get results back?
That's always the thing that we just simply can't guarantee how fast we could do it. The assay itself takes about 24 hours to run. But unfortunately, it's a very expensive assay, and so we have to wait until we have enough sample material to run the assay. So unfortunately, it's not that we can just have one sample, we'll take it in from the field and have a test results back in a couple of days. In some cases, if a sample arrives and it just happens to be the sample that completes the number that we need to run the assay, that may happen. Otherwise, it may take a few weeks before we can get results back.
And is there anything else that you'd like to add about the screenings or about the water hemp weed in general?
Well, this is again, this is one of our most problematic species that many farmers in Illinois and across the Midwest are facing. And we're really trying, we're very grateful for the funding from the Illinois Soybean Association to continue offering this service to Illinois farmers, simply because you know, the more information that farmers have and understand this species, the better off we can try to manage this.